if you're a KiwiBank customer like me, or like me, you like to check out the weather. It's been tricky sometimes finding the information online recently, checking your accounts, because both of those organisations, and they're not the only ones, have been battling cyber attacks. Others to have to deal with distributed denial of service attacks, DDoS, as some people call them, include ANZ. That's my other bank, New Zealand Post, Ministry for Primary Industries. The Waikato DHB, of course, was hit by a major cyber attack. Joining me now to talk about these is the Chief Executive of the Telecommunications Forum, Paul Breslin. Kia ora, Paul.
Kia ora. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. By the way, have you had any thoughts on the name of the inoculation buses?
I saw a few online today that looked quite good. I think double vac ute would be quite useful given the predicament we're in with big utes, perhaps.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
The big fat vax machine.
That's right. What was the one in Scooby Doo? The mystery machine. It's probably the vaccine machine. Yeah. We could do that.
I didn't know.
They're handing out ice creams.
Yes. Well, that's what I was wondering. Whether they will be offering other services as well as vaccination, and whether that might be a marketing opportunity. Have you thought about the song they could play if it's not going to be Greensleeves?
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be Greensleeves. That sends out the wrong message.
Yeah.
Mac the Knife's got to be the go-to, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Paul, you're on fire.
I've been on the internet all day. What else is there?
Right, yeah. Well, lucky you. Some people haven't been on the internet all day. They haven't been able to get on. What's going on, Paul? Is this just a coincidence? So it seems like there's almost like a concerted attack on some New Zealand businesses at the moment.
Well, it's a little hard to tell from the outside, and I don't really have any insider knowledge, but it does look very much like it's a, as you said in the intro, a denial of service attack, which is kind of the electronic equivalent of somebody ringing your doorbell and then running away. So by the time you get out of your Easy Boy and waddle over to the door, open it and find there's nobody there, and then get back and sit back down again, they do it again. And they do this millions of times a second. And it means that nobody else can get access to the service that they are that they're attacking. And it ties up huge amounts of resource. It's a very blunt instrument, and you would have thought after, what are we now, 3 days, 4 days in, that the providers of service would have, like KiwiBank and Met Service, would have figured out a way to switch off all this traffic.
I don't know if Met Service has been hit now, but KiwiBank certainly has, because I first started noticing problems at the start of last week. So it's been over 7 days now.
That's a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it really?
And
is it because they're difficult to stop?
Well, normally they're not. You see, you identify that there's all this massive amount of traffic coming to a website. It's very, very easy to tell that it's traffic you don't want. You just literally switch off access entirely for a while, figure out where the rogue packets and all the bad data is coming from, and then block that. Typically, banks and other providers of service would have an agreement with their network provider that would allow them to drop all this traffic before it even arrives in New Zealand quite often. So, you know, it's most unusual to have it carrying on for so long. And you'd think that it's an indicator of a bigger problem within the providers, that they're not treating cybersecurity as a when will I get attacked rather than an if I'll get attacked. And in this day and age, you really just have to assume you will come under attack at some point. So what are you going to do about it? Be prepared up front.
Do you think it's a sign that hackers... Well, here's another question, actually, Paul.
Mm.
We talk about DDoS, distributed denial of service attacks, and how common they are. Are there other forms of attack that may be causing problems? Maybe the reason that KiwiBank hasn't been able to sort it out so quickly is because it's not actually a DDoS attack. Maybe it's more than that.
Well, yeah, it's extremely hard to tell from the outside just what is going on. And I don't think any of the services that are under attack have said yet what it is that is going on at their end. So I think given the amount of traffic we're seeing on networks around the place, it probably is a denial of service attack of some kind. But as you say, to be going on this long would indicate that something else is afoot.
And why wouldn't they tell us what's going on, given it's not good marketing to log on to your bank service and not have it there for several days running? Wouldn't it be better to come out and say, this is why it's happening, please bear with us?
Well, there's always this fear, I suspect, with cybersecurity issues that somehow you look either you look stupid because you're being attacked, or you're giving the bad guys an indication of how much you know about what they're doing, and that in itself, in the middle of an attack, can be a real problem because you actually don't want to give away too much of the game. Putting out a statement saying we're under this kind of attack and this is what we're doing to sort it out, or this is what we hope to achieve by blocking it, that tends to give away the game. So the feeling is that keeping it all under the radar is the best way forward. I'm not sure that that's sensible in this day and age. You know, it's as you say, it's more about reputation for the company than it is about the technology or the service itself. Let us know what's going on. Give us an idea of when you're going to be able to come back up.
I would have thought that if I want to see whether I'm causing merry mayhem with a major bank in this country, I would just log onto its website. And if it's down, I'd think, yeah, me one, them nil.
Job done. That's right. That's right. But as you said earlier, it could be that they are trying a number of different attacks and that... they've moved on from a denial of service to something else to try and get access to the IT systems that sit in behind that have all that juicy personal data that these guys always tend to want to play with.
Should I worry about that? Should I worry that actually, because two of the providers that have been attacked are the banks that I use, and should I be worried about the safety of my finances?
Well, if it is just a straightforward denial of service attack, then you probably don't have anything to worry about because not only can you not access your content, your data, neither can anyone else. So, in effect, it's making it rather difficult for anybody to steal your information. If there is something else going on, then you would hope that the banks would indeed declare their hand, and banks in particular have an awful lot of reporting requirements on them to make sure that if there is an issue like this, they let other banks know and they let the customers know, so that you know, if somebody does clean out your bank account magically somehow, you're not liable for it because you've done everything right. It's the bank's problem to wear. So they are usually a lot more forthcoming about that sort of thing, in my experience.
What proportion of the cyber attacks are we actually hearing about? How many don't emerge above the surface?
Well, this sort of thing is happening all day, every day, to pretty much every website there is in New Zealand and probably around the world as well. There's always somebody attempting to, some piece of software attempting to probe the defences to find a way in. There's always some group out there that is trying desperately to upset a provider of service of one kind or another. Whether it's just for kicks or whether it's for something more nefarious, you know, to as you say, to access your bank account details or worse, you know, they are out there trying this on all the time. I suspect we probably only hear about the tip of the iceberg, maybe 1 or 2%. CERT, the government's computer cybersecurity response team, puts out a quarterly report and says the incidence of these kinds of things taking place is on the rise constantly. And it's not just the kids trying it on anymore. The way we used to talk about script kiddies who would just be sitting in mum's basement having a play and seeing if they can, you know, hack NASA and find out the secrets about alien life and all that kind of thing. It's moved on now. We've got cyber criminals, organized crime, and the new player on the block is, of course, what they call state level actors who are either governments themselves trying to break in and cause trouble, or the people they've trained who have a little bit of downtime and want to make some money.
Is it worse here than anywhere else?
Not in particular. I think what tends to happen is they're not necessarily targeting New Zealand businesses as such, What they do is they target a particular type of software, say the firewall that these organizations are using that may be slightly out of date. And if these guys have got a way of attacking a slightly out of date version of the firewall, they'll just try everywhere they can until they find one or two that are open and will let them in and cause trouble. So that could well be what's going on here. They've discovered that there may be some kind of link between ANZ and Kiwi Bank, Met Service and all the others. Perhaps they're using the same kind of software, and so that is that has drawn the bad guys to them.
That political angle that you mentioned, what evidence do we have? And why would, say, I mean, I'm pretty sure China got fingered. I don't know if it was fingered in any way that was actually there was any proof, but I think Australia reckoned that China's behind one of the big cyber attacks on that country, which I think hit them in June of last year. What evidence and what would other countries have to gain by causing trouble in a country like New Zealand or Australia?
Well, the two things they may well be trying to achieve. One is simply to gain access to the systems to then loiter and keep an eye on as much as possible with a view to perhaps getting advanced understanding of negotiations, for example, in free trade agreements or to better understand intellectual property secrets that companies or organizations in a country may have. You know, New Zealand is a world leader in terms of a lot of our farming practices, not all of which we share with other countries. Perhaps that's a target for some other providers. You know, it's very hard to tell. So they could well just want to break into then loiter and just listen and observe and see what is going on. But similarly, we've seen this with the American elections, with some of the activity in Europe. Simple disruption can be of huge benefit to those countries who are at odds with each other. You know, we might not be involved directly, but we're certainly part of a large group of countries that have been under attack lately, whether it's elections or misinformation and disinformation campaigns. It's very hard to get stuck into another country and in a political sense and hold it to account when you're busy explaining why vaccines are safe and that 5G won't give you radiation poisoning and all the rest of it that goes with the disinformation campaigns that we've seen so much of lately.
I mean, I can see that working on social media, the whole Chicken Little whisper, the sky is falling into the person's ear, and the next thing they're all saying the sky is falling and heading off to the fox's lair. But Med Service, I mean, again, we don't know if there's any political involvement here, but I mean, and I guess in some ways that's the one that worried me the most, because, okay, it's an inconvenience for me if I can't check my bank account, but, you know, it doesn't kill me. But if somebody can't get the really important weather forecast, if they're going out into the open sea, for example, and they need the coastal forecast, and that's not available, that's much more of a problem.
It really is, and I mean, you know, for some people looking at it the other way around, Met Service, well, you know, if I don't know what the weather's doing here in central Auckland today, that's not a problem. But if I can't access my bank account, perhaps I can't order groceries online and pay for them using my own money instead of a credit card because I just don't have access to my bank account details. So all those online payments grind to a halt. You know, customers who don't have credit cards are totally reliant on their bank accounts for shopping. And at the moment, in the middle of a pandemic, when we're not allowed out, you know, being able to shop online is really quite important to feeding your family. So there are probably good indicators of why certain organizations would be targeted. But again, they might well just simply be caught up in an attack because of the software that's not quite patched or the firewall that's not quite up to date.
Do you think it's equipment that we don't have, or is it the skills to actually, the people who know how to deal with this that we're missing? It's a sign of this spate, is it a sign that we're lacking in either of those?
Well, I'm not sure if it is a sign, but we absolutely are lacking in cybersecurity professionals. I've just recently finished working with a company called Datacom, probably New Zealand's largest IT company. They have a very large cybersecurity practice, and they are crying out for trained staff to come and work for them. They're working with Unitech, so if you ever wanted to study and learn how to be a cybersecurity specialist, I highly recommend going along to Unitech and finding out a bit more about the courses that are on offer, because these jobs are in huge demand all around the world. There's a distinct shortage of cybersecurity professionals, and it's quite an entertaining and interesting part of the industry. But there's as many as we train up. We train 50 to 100 professionals a year in New Zealand. They get snapped up overseas, and once the doors open properly after the after COVID and vaccinations have kicked in, I suspect we'll lose a whole bunch of people because other countries are treating this really seriously. Australia's just announced they're spending $1.5 billion over the next 3 or 4 years to bolster its cybersecurity defences, and that includes hiring an awful lot of people. So I imagine you could take your New Zealand pay and probably double it quite happily for the same job in Australia and pick up where you left off as soon as you land.
Paul.
Sorry,
Paul, just quickly.
It goes on. That's right.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
That's Paul Brislin from the Telecommunications Forum.